Welcome to Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf. Podcast number 37 and episode number 1 of the year 2009. Hello everyone, my name is Tom Brussell and I'm glad you joined us today. Sitting in with me as he does each episode is technical specialist Kenny Nicholson from Edwin Watts Golf. Kenny, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Tom. Thanks, buddy.
And happy new year. With a new year, I'm sure, comes some new listeners. Why don't you tell the listeners how they can engage with us back and forth on the internet?
Yeah, it's a great question. And one of the things that I absolutely love the most about this show is answering questions from the listeners. And simply go to the EdwinWattsGolf.com website. On the left-hand side of the page, you'll see the Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf podcast button. Simply click on that button. It'll take you to a landing page that actually houses all of the past episodes. And then you will see the Ask Kenny button. And when you click on that, it'll automatically open up an email that will come directly to myself. And I will gladly answer each and every one of those emails. And then every now and then we actually do an Ask Kenny show where we actually use some of those questions on the show. And if you are one of the lucky people that ask Kenny a question and we use it on the show, we'll gladly send you one of the Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf hats that have turned into quite the souvenir and had pictures taken from all over the world just about.
Yeah, we love you listening and we love the feedback even more. Periodically throughout the year, there's even a better chance to win other things that are donated by the manufacturers we work with, correct?
Yeah, we gave away some great stuff over the last couple of years, from sets of irons, drivers, fairway woods, putters, travel bags, you name it, we've given it away. And we work with the manufacturers to try to get some exciting, fresh, new products out there to give away to our listeners. So within that same landing page on the EdwinWattsGolf.com website, you can submit your register to win information there as well. Now, if you've asked Kenny during that same time period, that does not automatically register you to win, so make sure that you do that. And if you register to win once, that does not mean that you are automatically included in all of the giveaways. So for every time that we do a giveaway, make sure you go to the register to win, sign up to win one of these fabulous products.
Okay, the three things are Ask Kenny, where you can ask a question and register to win a hat. The other is to register to win some of the nice items, you said sets of irons, GPS devices, things like that periodically throughout the year. The third thing I wanted to ask you, Kenny, is when will we be on the air and how can they listen in?
Yeah, we're going to be on the air every other Thursday. We're going to have a new podcast out. And there's a couple different ways to listen into the show. Probably the best and easiest way to make sure that you get every episode is go to iTunes. You can type in the Golf Better name in the search field, and that'll actually pull up the Golf Better podcast show, and you can sign up there for free. And every time we do a new podcast, it automatically dumps into your podcast library. And if you're just sitting around the house or the office and you want to listen to us, you can go to the EdwinWattsGolf.com website, click on the Golf Better icon, and all of the past shows are housed right there. And you can click on those and listen to them straight from your desktop.
That's great. I think the real message is we want you to listen to us, but we really want to hear from you, right?
The end result is we want to hear from you, the listener. What can we do to better serve you and answer any of the questions that you might have, whether it's a ruling question, a question on do you think you have the right lie in your golf club, the flex, whatever it might be, send the question in. I love getting those and gladly answer all of them and just really enjoy that aspect of the program.
And if you want to go back and take a look at some of the past episodes and who we've had in the past on this show, that's probably a good indication of what we're going to have in the future.
Yeah, that's correct. We've had some great guests on the show, from Scotty Cameron to Tom Stikes to Frank Thomas. You name it, we've had some big names on the show, John K. Solheim Jr., and we really enjoy that. And it's what's neat is I've been doing this for a long time, and every time we have one of these guys on the show, it's a learning experience for me as well. I learn things that I didn't know before, and we really push these guys to tell us what's coming out in the future. What does it take to make a new golf club? How do you get the launch? Just anything and everything involved in the makings of a golf club. These are the engineers typically that we deal with. And every now and then we'll have a pro on and be able to ask them some questions as well.
Somebody just logged onto the podcast for the first time, Kenny. They look at this and they have, believe it or not, no idea what Edwin Watts Golf does. Why don't you tell them what Edwin Watts has done over the last 40 years, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've been in business since 1968. We have 69 retail stores throughout the southeast part of the United States. We have some franchise stores up in the Boston, Massachusetts area. And we basically thrive on customer service for the most part. I mean, we deal in nothing but pro-line golf equipment. And what you mean by that is basically anything that you see on TV, we're going to be able to get you into that particular merchandise. And we've been doing it for a long time. We've got custom fitters in every single store, most every store has launch monitors. If you want to go get fit for a new driver or set of irons, you can go in there and schedule a fitting right there on the launch monitor and tell you if you got the right equipment. And then we also have our phone staff here that has, you know, an average tenure of about 14 years. And these guys, not only do they know the products, we require them to go hit all of these products. So if you call somebody up and ask them a question about a product, they don't just know the product. They can actually tell you how it hit, how it sounded, how it played, and give you an honest assessment as to whether or not it's going to fit your game.
Well, the website is www.edwinwattsgolf.com. And there's an 800 toll-free number, Kenny. That number is?
800-874-0146.
I think the New Year's preliminaries are out of the way, and we can get started on today's show. You ready?
Yeah, I brought one of our 15-year veterans from phone sales, and actually a pretty good player in his own right, Mr. Kirk White. Kirk, how you doing today?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, we're glad you're with us, Kirk. New for 09, there's always this time of year, new stuff comes out. Lots of you get inundated in the market. I know you've seen a lot of things. On the driver side, that's what everybody talks about first. Why don't you talk about some of the things that have really, a couple of the products that have stood out to you with regard to new drivers?
Well, the biggest one I see is Callaway with their FTIQ driver. They really addressed the problem they had last year with their square-headed driver, the new driver to hit it straight. And with this one, they got all the components in there as far as the distance-wise, the forgiveness with the carbon fiber shell they have on the driver with a lightweight material. They're able to get the center of gravity lower and deeper in the club, which gives you that optimal launch angle to get the ball up in the air and less spin for more carry. So they've really got on the ball with this driver, and I think it's going to be a big hit this year.
Now, this is not your traditional shape driver, right? This is a square, kind of a square head driver?
It's the square head, which kind of came out last year with Callaway and Nike. And like I said, the original FTI driver they had a lot of problems. People were just concerned they weren't getting the distances that they were looking for out of the driver. And they took it, went into the R&D department and really got down on it and found out where they missed on the first one and addressed it. And from all the reports we've gotten, and I've hit it on our launch monitor back here, which we're required to do with all the new products. And I was just amazed. It was very long, and all the numbers that came up were outstanding.
When you guys, when the square-headed or non-traditional drivers first came out to both of you guys, was that an instant buzz? Was there a lot of selling you had to do with customers, or talk about that?
I mean, the big buzz was MOI, moment of inertia, was the big buzz. And in order to create a golf club that had a higher moment of inertia, obviously what you have to do to do that, you have to have more weight on the toe and more weight on the heel. That way, if you hit the ball out towards the toe of the golf club, you're going to get less twisting. So the dispersion was not as great. And the only way to do that was to change the geometric shape of the golf club. So you go from all these traditional pear-shaped drivers for as long as you can remember, and now all of a sudden you have a golf club that's fairly square down there at address. So it took a little bit of getting used to, and the manufacturers did a great job of addressing the big component of that golf club, which was moment of inertia. But in some cases, it felt like distance might have been one of the issues that they lost a little bit of focus on. But, you know, you look at the guy and you say, okay, if you're going to lose a couple of yards, but you're going to be in fairway, is that a huge plus? And for me, yeah. I mean, if you're going to play out of the fairway versus the rough, you're going to score less. So what they did with some of these new drivers, as Kirk was saying, they actually addressed the moment of inertia, but they took a huge look at the distance for the golf clubs. And these, you know, all of our salesmen are required to go out there and hit these products and test them. We have a launch monitor right here in our headquarters, and we can get on the machine and figure out exactly what the launch angle is, what's the spin rate, how far you're hitting it versus other products. And we know beyond a reasonable doubt how the product performs. So when a guy calls up and, you know, asks one of the guys, hey, have you ever hit this product? They can say without a doubt, yes, I've hit it. And I can tell you exactly how it plays, how it sounds, how it feels, everything about it versus somebody that might say, well, I haven't hit it, but I have read a lot of things about it. And, hey, you know, at the end of the day, most people can read about it, but they want to know how it performs.
We're talking with Kenny Nicholson and Kirk Whited from Edwin Watts Golf. Kirk, the FTIQ, you were saying the predecessor to that club came in a fade bias, neutral bias, draw bias. Is that the same with these new Callaway clubs?
Yes, they still have that in this model. And they also kind of the first model that they came out with in the IQ is going to have a set shaft in the club, and they're also going to have the iMix still available in there where you can take a shaft out real quick, throw another one in there if you're on the range or you're inside trying to find what shaft fits best for you.
The standard IQ, the price point on that club?
think it's right at $399.99.
So it's right in the sweet spot as far as drivers goes for somebody who really looking for the square-headed driver that's going to have the distance.
Exactly.
Kenny, your thoughts, is MOI still big?
MOI is huge. I mean, it's going to be around for a long time. Just like, you know, coefficient of restitution, or CORE, was the talk, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago. Even though it's not the buzzword anymore, it's still, I mean, everybody's going to be around the 0.830 mark with CORE. And now moment of inertia, even though it was the big buzzword last year, is still the big buzzword now. So moment of inertia and CORE are two things that are going to be moving forward. And what you look at now is geometric shapes. And one of the drivers that I've kind of fallen in love with that's new for this year is the Adams Speedline driver. And what they did with technology on that golf club was they saw all these big boxy drivers coming out in the 460cc heads, and they, you know, were trying to figure out how much speed, club head speed loss are you getting with these big golf clubs. And they actually went into the wind tunnel testing that NASCAR uses, that some of the other speed sports use, and put these clubs to test up against their new product and tried to figure out how to get less drag on a golf club to make it cut through the wind better. And on average, they were able to find out that they gained about 4 miles an hour in club head speed, which equated to about 5 to 7 mile an hour in ball speed. Now, distance-wise, you're going to see a gain. It depends on who you are. Everybody's going to be a little bit different. But, you know, I would say, you know, on average, anywhere from 4 to 8 or 10 yards increase in distance. And for some people, it's kind of like that, you know, that fish story. You caught one that might have weighed like a half a pound, and by the time it gets around, it might have been like a 7-pound bass or something like that.
I hit the speed line. I did hit that on our launch monitor. And as far as the club head speed, I noticed an increase in my club head speed by about 2 to 3 miles per hour compared to the Callaway FTIQ with that club. So I think technology is there and it's working.
And with you, I mean, you're a good player with a high club speed anyway. So you take the
two
average,
or 3 miles
yeah,
an hour.
2 or 3 miles an hour is huge. So yeah. You take the average guy out there that, you know, is can increase that club head speed even more. I mean, it could be a lot bigger effect on him versus somebody that already has a, you know, 114 to 116 mile an hour club head speed.
So we've got a geometry-driven driver in the IQ that has now increased its distance. You've got Adams that's taken, for better use of words, NASCAR-type technology and increased club head speed. Has movable weight technology gotten lost in all this, or is it kind of still around?
No, it's still there. TaylorMade has it in the current model they have available right now, which is the R7 Limited. But they do have one that's coming out here very shortly. It's not available yet, but it's on the horizon as the new R9. And they've taken it to the extent on that club. You can change the lie angle of the club, the loft of the club. It's got 8 interchangeable positions with the shaft. And then they also have the 3 weight ports on the bottom of the club, so you can adjust the flight or the right or left or right, whichever way you like the ball to go.
And yes, we are talking about golf clubs. I mean, it's strange that we're, you know, have all these different components and variables that you can change within the golf club. Just keep in mind that once you start your round, technically under the USGA rules of golf, you're not allowed to adjust it. So, but what's great is if you're playing a short course or you're playing a course that has a lot of right to left that you know going in, you know, you can set that golf club up to the way that the course plays for you that day. And that's what's real neat about all this movable weight technology. And I think it's something that we're going to continue to see in the future of golf.
And that, you said that's the R9, and that's probably what time of year, Kirk?
I think March the 20th is their launch date for the R9 series.
Awesome. Kirk Whited and Kenny Nicholson joining us from Edwin Watts Golf. Hey, we talk about drivers, we talk about irons and hybrids. Sometimes getting lost in the mix of fairway woods, you only hit the club normally, the normal player hits it once or twice around maybe, but fairway woods are kind of the sleeper. Talk about what you've seen so far that kind of looks different or that may be a little different out there, Kirk.
The Cleveland Launcher Series, they brought that series back. They had the high bore XL and that new look, but they went back to their Launcher Series and more of a traditional look. But with the weighting on the crown of the heads, the lighter weight material on there, same as in the driver, they're able to get the lower center of gravity in the club and get the launch angle so the ball comes off the club very quickly and easily and good distance. And again, from hitting that on the launch monitor, and I've hit it at the range, it is very solid, one of the better ones out there that I've seen.
One of the ones that I've seen that I actually love, and I'm a very traditional type player. I mean, I like something that sets up real traditional, and for me, that instills confidence. That doesn't mean I want to hit it better, but I just like the way that they set up. And the Ping Raptor V2, to me, is one of those golf clubs that whenever I set it down at an address, I just feel like I can't go wrong with it.
you know, as far as, you know, technology-wise, what did they do on that? It's actually they use a tungsten sole plate, which helps lower the center of gravity and get the ball airborne. And that's what I like in a fairway wood, because if I struggle in one part of my game in fairway woods, it's I don't get a lot of trajectory, so I need that lower center of gravity that helps. And I also love to hit a fairway wood off of the tee on a lot of your shorter par fours. For me, it just helps me keep the ball in play. And if I'm playing it, let's just say I'm playing a hole that's 350 yards long, and let's just say I could hit a driver 280. But, you know, you want to lay back to a certain yardage that you feel comfortable with. To me, that's 100 yards. So I can hit a 3-wood off the tee and be about 100 yards out, and I know I'm playing to a strength.
Well, Kenny's the traditional guy. Talk about a non-traditional-looking club that you might like in the fairway wood, Kirk.
Well, that's easy. Callaway's got their new Diablo series that's out for this year. To be honest with you, it's really not a traditional-looking club, more of the square back. Not quite a square head, but it's got that look to it for a lot of their tour players for Callaway. Talking guys on the tour, I actually got it in the bag. And so, you know, as far as the looks, when you set it down, it doesn't look traditional. It's kind of hard to look at, but as far as how it works and where it gets the ball to, it's excellent. As far as the distance on it, with that shape, they're able to get, again, the center of gravity down and deep behind the face, so the ball's going to get up in the air a lot quicker and easier, and that's what everybody's looking for, and even the guys on tour are looking for that club, and when they put this club in their bag, it was just, they couldn't take it out.
The Callaway Big Bertha Diablo. If you can, on radio, describe how, or a podcast, describe how that looks when you set it down behind the ball. Is it going to be long from front to back or triangular shaped? Or as you said, non-traditional. Just kind of describe a little bit how, what you think.
Well, it's more, if anybody's seen the square drivers, FTI, the FTIQ, the new one, it's more of that square kind of club head, but it's not. It more with the square triangle shape. It's going to come back. It's not really to a point, but it's got a little box off area on the back. That shape is what's able to get them that center of gravity lower and deeper right behind the face, and it makes that sweet spot bigger and able to get the ball up in the air a lot quicker.
Well, you said a lot of tour players are putting the Diablo in their bag. Why is that? Is it just the trajectory ball flight? Or?
Exactly. Tour players, and what we see on the phones, a lot of people call and they'll say, well, this guy's playing it on tour, I can't hit it, which is way off base, because they're just like anybody else. They're looking for the easiest club to hit. Gets the ball up in the air the quickest, the distance, how high they can hit it and come down soft. They're just like any other golfer out there, any 97 shooter or 30 handicap. They're looking for the easiest club to put in their bag and get distance and forgiveness.
Probably why many of them got rid of the long irons, correct?
Oh, exactly. And that's another thing going off base here a little bit is a lot of tour players now are not carrying a 3 or 4 iron. They've got hybrids in their bags, and that's what I think a lot of the regular golfers, they don't understand is the reason they do it is because they're easy to hit, and they get the distance, and with a hybrid, you can get the ball up in the air a lot easier, and it flies longer.
Well, great segue into our next topic of conversation, which are the hybrid clubs, the new hybrids that come out new every year. This is a club that came out, I guess, in its infancy, what, 6-7 years ago, and kind of to help the senior player. And, boy, this thing has really morphed into the club of the 2000s, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it has. You look, you're going way back into the 60s and stuff. You can remember the old cleat with the little runners on the bottom of it. That's what they were creating back then, was that basically a hybrid of the future, but way back in time. And, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago when manufacturers started coming out with these clubs, helped get the ball airborne with slower club head speeds and land the ball softer and made it almost like cheating for the most part for long irons.
So. And, Kirk, you brought it up. The best players in the world are using them.
Oh, exactly. And myself, not to be bragging, I'm about a 3 handicap. And about 2 years ago, I put a 3 and 4 hybrid in my bag. And it's like you said, it's like cheating. I mean, I've hit shots with those hybrids that I could never hit with a conventional 3 or 4 iron. And it's incredible.
Well, the new ones for 09, what has really stood out to you as far as unique type of hybrids? I know some of them look more like irons, some look a little bit more like wood, some are kind of in the middle, some have different weighting and all. Talk about the ones that stand out to you, Kirk.
Myself, I play the Pro Hybrid by Adams. Adams was one of the ones that kind of got into the hybrid business, if you would say, and they came out with the Pro Gold Hybrid, which is a tremendous club for the mid to lower handicap player. But they've got the A4OS hybrids, more of a boxer style, with that different kind of look to it with the box on it, but it's for the mid to high handicap player. And as far as distance wise and forgiveness, this club is amazing.
Yeah, when you talk, this Kenny, when you talk about hybrids sometimes in the pro model, in this model or that model, what you typically find is the better players play a hybrid that don't have very much offset at all. And typically, you know, the average golfer out there needs a little bit of help, and there are tons of manufacturers out there that make hybrids that are designed for that average golfer. One of the ones that I really like and I think sets up really good for my game was the Callaway FT Hybrid. Has the tungsten weight in the bottom of it for a lower center of gravity and helps get the ball airborne. And, you know, we touched on earlier, I'm a real traditionalist of the game. Although hybrids, you know, when you talk about traditional in golf, it's not something that's been around for a long, long time. The club sets up to me extremely square, has that nice pear shape to it. And one of the things I like the most about it is I feel like I can actually work the ball a little bit. You know, you feel like you can work it left to right or right to left. And sometimes when you're trying to work it right to left, it goes left. You know what I'm talking about. So, and then there's tons of other hybrids out there for every type of player. This is something that everybody should have at least one of these in their bag. And most people should have two or three in their bag to replace those long irons.
Well, Kirk, you really surprised me when you said some tour players are going down 3 and 4 hybrid. Of these new hybrids that are out this year, how low or how high can you go as far as the number of iron? Are they taking it down to the 5 and 6 iron in some cases?
Oh, definitely. A lot of companies go to that. I know one I was going to bring up that a lot of people don't hear about. They just don't do the advertising that all the big dogs do is Bobby Jones. It's a great hybrid, and they go all the way down to, I believe it's a 35 degree, which places a 7 iron. So, I mean, you can pretty much put hybrids in your bag from a 3 iron to a 7 iron.
If you've never hit a hybrid, if you're out there listening and you're one of those guys that says, nah, I got too much game for a hybrid or what have you, trust me, you need to definitely give these things a shot because, you know, if you're carrying 14 clubs in your bag, a lot of times you don't need a driver 3, 5, and 7 wood. You know, you might need to replace the 5 and 7 iron with a hybrid or, you know, just take the 2 and 3 iron out of the bag and get you some hybrids in there. But without a doubt, probably the most underutilized club in the bag, but the one that you would probably see the biggest game improvement in your bag.
Let me ask both you guys this because I haven't tried it. I've seen it on tour. Do you guys personally use the hybrid around the green like some of the tour players do?
I do. If it's a long bump and run, you know, something that you want to get on the ground in a hurry and not create a lot of roll, so something similar to a putter, I would use a hybrid on a long bump and run shot.
You're gripping down on the shaft?
Yeah, just grip down on it, take a stroke just like a putter. You're not going to get a lot of trajectory out of it, and you're not going to get a lot of backspin. So you get what I call a lot of true roll. So it's almost like putting from the fringe, but you're not getting the ball hung up in the grass. Whereas some people, when you're chipping around the greens with an iron, some people can, you know, you always hear that, man, that ball checked up on you a little bit. You know, if it wouldn't have checked up, you would have gotten some run out of it. With a hybrid, you tend to get a lot more true roll. And I found that on those, especially the long bump and runs, that I'm able to get the ball a lot closer to the hole. And, hey, that's where you're going to win and lose most of your shots is around the green. I mean, a lot of people can get to a par 4 and 2 or within, you know, 20, 30 yards of the green. It's who can get up and down when they need to get up and down. And this is one of those clubs that you can use it from, you know, a lot of different shots around the golf course.
That's another thing that I use it for is when you got that little lie behind, it's, you got 10 or 15 yards to the flag and you get that clump of grass in front of you.
That really would be called the fringe.
The fringe.
Or the rough.
Exactly. When you get that clump of rough right in front of your ball, and instead of punting it with a putter, you just don't have that confidence to hit through that. The hybrid is perfect. I mean, it goes right through it very easy. Like Kenny said, the ball gets rolling just like a putt.
It's one of those we're talking about is when the rough's right behind the ball. Your ball's on the fringe, and it's
we used to do a bellied sand wedge, and you belly the wedge and just kind of cut it in the middle of the ball. Right?
Yeah, correct. But a hybrid, you can set it down right on top of the rough, and it doesn't slow the club up at all.
Not at all.
Talking about confidence, I've seen a lot of guys do this. Kirk, and you're a low handicapper, 2 or 3. These guys will pull the hybrid out on the tee as opposed to a fairway wood because of the shorter shaft, and you just know you're going to just smack it down the middle, right?
Exactly, and that is a big thing with a hybrid. A lot of people have problems with, I just can't hit a fairway wood from the tee, and this is just like hitting a 3-iron. Some people don't even tee it up. You just put it on a short tee and just knock it out there on that 330-yard par 4, and you're ready to go.
Trust me, you'll have a little more confidence on the tee with one of these versus a long iron. You definitely feel very safe with getting, and everybody has a golf course that has that, you know, 280-yard or 320-yard par 4 that's just basically inviting you to give it all you got, when the best strategy most of the times is, hey, hit a hybrid or a 3-iron off the tee here, lay yourself back to a yardage that you're comfortable with, and play in from there.
Put a wedge in your hand and do that as opposed to
That's what I've learned to do.
But I tell you that as far as those hybrids, the one thing that I see, people would get those par threes where you got to carry it 200 over water. Most of the courses that are being built today, they have a hole like that, and you're just scared to death with a 3 or 4 iron. I'm not even going to get it airborne. I'm going to skim it. And that hybrid, I'm telling you, you'll get up there and you'll be surprised. I was like Kenny said, got the ego out of me and hit him on the range, and next day I had him in my bag.
Well, that was new for 2009 with the drivers, fairways, and hybrids from Kenny Nicholson and Kirk Whited. Kirk, I know you're a busy man. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks.
And appreciate you sitting in, and we'll do it again maybe a little later in the year or next couple of shows with maybe some irons, wedges, and putters and balls.
Yeah, there's a ton of new products coming out. We'll try to touch on a few of those. We've got some great shows coming up with some of the manufacturers, engineers, research and development guys, and hopefully some tour players as well.
Kenny, before we say so long to our listeners today, talk about how they can benefit by ordering from edwinwattsgolf.com and using a golf better code.
That's correct. Just go to our website, edwinwattsgolf.com, and when you find something you'd like to order, in the checkout page there's a promotional box that you simply need to input the promotional code, which is GOLFBETTER09. Again, that's all lowercase, GOLFBETTER09, to receive your 10% off and free shipping. Now, some manufacturers' restrictions apply, as always. There are certain manufacturers out there that have pricing policies, and we can't give any discounts or promotional items away, but for a lot of stuff out there, you're going to receive your 10% off and free shipping.
And as we mentioned earlier, if you have questions, we would love to hear from you. Questions, comments, concerns, or thoughts. Go to the Edwin Watt website, click on the Golf Better icon left side, and hit that Ask Kenny button. And Kenny, I know your email's hitting 24/7.
It is, and I love these questions, whether it's critiquing the show or questions on golf technology. I personally answer each and every one of those, and for a few lucky listeners out there, we'll use some of those on the show and get you your Golf Better at Edwin Watt's Golf Hat.
Kenny, thanks so much again for your time. I know you're a busy man. I love doing this every couple weeks with you. And to our fans out there, thanks for joining us and your continued support and feedback on the show. Remember to send those questions in and look back in 2 weeks when we have a new episode of Golf Better at Edwin Watt's Golf. So long, everyone.